Now today what I'm going to do is I'm going to move into, again, talking a little bit about death. Every training period, I talk about this. And I talk about this because it is an important thing as far as the Chan masters are considered. Life and death, this is the most important question that you have to deal with. And I also seem to be loved by Amazon, Kindle. And I was just going through because I read everything and I found a book. And where did this book come from? And what happens, because I had never seen the book on my Kindle before, and you know, occasionally, Amazon actually downloads free books for me, because I think my Kindle's at about 140 or 150 now. And so they just every once in a while throw a free book to me. Well, they gave me a book, or there is a book. I might have downloaded it, see, that if I knew anything about the author, I probably would have not looked at this book. He is a Jesuit priest and a psychotherapist from Bombay, India. And a psychotherapist and a Jesuit, I've had very positive experiences with Jesuits and Franciscans. Very positive experiences. But generally speaking, it isn't something that I would necessarily pick up. Kujaku occasionally gives me Brother Lawrence and Islam. Gave it to you and you gave it to me. Okay. see, I have a positive feeling about it, but on this one I hadn't. So I just sort of began sort of thumbing through it as a manner of speaking on my iPad, see. And I really ended up liking the book. See, his name is Tony Mello. See, he died young. He died at the age of 55. But he was truly a unique individual. He's published books. He was a spiritual guide, a teacher, see, and had to have been an absolutely remarkable human being, see. And I'm going to use, and by the way, a Jesuit, see, but coming from India, see, he sometimes sounds like a Chan master, a Vedantic master, see, he moves beyond the limitations of religion, see, the limitations of religion, and he deals with a variety of fascinating subjects, dealing always with us. And he approaches it from a profound spiritual practice and as a practicing therapist. See, the therapist I would have immediately thrown out. But here I am standing in awe of this individual. And I'm going to use some of the material from a chapter titled The Death of Me. Now, this book isn't listed in chapters. There's just titles to this wide-ranging series of talks, see, and teachings that he gives, and some really amusing stories that he tells, some metaphors, some interesting things. And one of the things that came across to me, if he was your therapist, you're probably going to get your butt kicked. Because he's not going to soft-pedal anything when he deals with you. See? And then he starts by saying, can one be fully human without experiencing tragedy? And the only tragedy there is in the world is ignorance. All evil comes from that. What do we talk about in Zen? The three poisons. Greed, anger, and ignorance, see. And ignorance, see, is feeling, experiencing yourself as separate from the environment that you inhabit. He says the only tragedy there is in the world is unwakefulness and unawareness. From them comes fear, and from fear comes everything else. But death is not a tragedy at all. See, what have I tried to talk about or get you to understand? That it's from ignorance, see, that our greed and our anger and all other things are subsumed under that. See, you experiencing yourself as separate here, and this isn't something you can overcome by being a clever thinker. And he deals with those issues also. See? He said, dying is wonderful. This is far out. Dying is wonderful. It's only horrible to people who have never understood life. It's only when you're afraid of life that you fear death. See, and again, see, the Zen masters will talk about this. See, and they'll talk about, see, that if you don't know how to live, see, you will fear death. And then they said, if you can overcome the fear of death, you will know how to live. And again, most people won't even take this seriously. They won't even be able to understand where this amazing teacher is coming from. He said it is only dead people who fear death. See? But people who are alive have no fear of death. See? Are you following this? Where do you stand? See, and he'll get into a most amazing kinds of self-analysis. And what it breaks down to is Roshi's teaching of no self-deception. And this man practices that. And his whole book, see, is a tribute to his unwillingness to deceive himself. And look carefully at yourself. See, look carefully. How many of you keep coming in to the Doksan room trying to deceive me? See, you don't understand. I can't be deceived because I have a practice. You're deceiving yourself. See, if you really understand what it is we're doing, and this man does understand, it is only dead people who fear death. See, is he talking about you? See? But people who are alive have no fear of death. He said, one of your American authors put it so well. He said, awakening is the death of your belief in injustice and tragedy. The end of the world for a caterpillar is a butterfly for the master. Who is the master? See? Death is resurrection. See, and again, remember, he's playing in the metaphors, and this author, what he appreciates, he is still a Jesuit priest. See? And I was always told when I had involvement with him, we had Jesuits that sat with us. You met Father Kennedy, didn't you, Domon, when we were there? See, Father Kennedy used to come sit sessions with us. The other group, the Franciscans, they would come. I loved the robes of the Franciscans. See, and Roshi actually had me go to meet with them when they wanted to adopt Zazen in part of the 10-step program that they were involved with. See, and it was a delightful time for me. And I thought, oh God, Roshi, what do you send me to? See, and I thought, I'm going to go in with these Catholic fanatics. And by the way, I recommend this book to anyone who has an interest in Catholicism or Christianity or spirituality or therapy. See, and you won't find me often making that kind of a recommendation. But this is truly remarkable teachings in there. See, so when I went with the Franciscans, see, you know, met them right up there by Los Feliz, see, We sat in there. We had a wonderful time. I had a ball. We smoked cigarettes and we drank red wine. And we talked all night. And it was just a very, very wonderful experience for me. See, and I suspect Roshi knew that I would have normally pushed back on that. But see, it was wonderful. See, now he says we're not talking about some resurrection that will happen, but about one that is happening right now. See? If you would die to the past, if you would die to every minute, you would be the person who is fully alive. Because a fully alive person is one who is full of death. See, birth and death, this is the life of the Buddha. See, Dogen talks about that. See, and don't make mistakes in interpreting this from an egocentric perspective. And for those of you who are just as self-enamored, oh, he has a couple of wonderful teachings for you. See, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. See, because a fully alive person is one who is full of death. See, Krishnamurti said, see, death, see, is complete detachment. See, each moment, see, in the Avatamsaka Sutra, it says, what you're looking into now changes 7,000 times a second. What you're looking into now, if you grasp that from a conceptual understanding, you've missed it. See, you've missed it. You don't understand and have not experienced emptiness. See, and beyond that, you have no understanding, no reality of the selfless world. See, continuously dying to the moment. Like Krishnamurti said, complete detachment. Not holding on to anything. See? And holding on to your understanding, see, means that you are a person who is trapped by death. You are fearful. You are frightened. I have talked about this before. See, those who truly get to the point where they can step from the top of a 100-foot pole into the realm of the selfless, it's frightening. Because those deep-seated notions about yourself, you have to give up. See, these are those secret places that you don't even share with your psychiatrist. See, this practice is real. See, and it's totally pure. See, you cannot con yourself, but you still will try. And to give up, see, all of these hidden agendas that you think you are so skillfully hiding, see, is frightening. See, I've talked about some of my own experiences with that. See. But anyway, we'll go on. We're always dying to things. We're always shedding everything in order to be fully alive and to be resurrected at every moment. This is a priest talking. See, and if I said this was a Zen master or a Dzogchen master, you'd say, yeah, he's got it. This is a therapist talking. See, wow, you should be so lucky as to have this man as your therapist. Unfortunately, he died. See, but in the past, and when I was working in the field, getting my degrees in psych, my abnormal psych professor told me in selecting a therapist, he said, realize, he said, your therapist can only take you as far as their hang-ups. They can't move you beyond that. You cannot move beyond your own ignorance, the limitations of your own egocentric blocks. You can't move beyond that. And that's why we practice. And if you don't practice, you will never experience it. And look at yourself right now. What's going on in your head? See, you can't even die to the moment and be resurrected in a state of samadhi. See? The mystics, he said, the saints and others make great effort to wake people up. If they don't wake up, they're always going to have these other minor ills like hunger, wars, and violence. The greatest evil is sleeping people, ignorant people. He said, don't ask the world to change. You change first. But are you willing to do this? I can tell you, if you search through this man's teachings, he's going to essentially tell you, you don't want to change. See, what you want is confirmation, validation to your delusional state. Look at yourself carefully. Look at yourself carefully. Can you, see, through no self-deception, see the absolute truth in that? If you can't look at yourself honestly and openly, you will never experience enlightenment. You will continue to be among the dead. He said, don't ask the world to change. You change first. And that's very hard. See, that's very, very difficult. See, when you look out and you're offended, see, you miss Roshi's second admonition. Don't make an excuse for yourself. Where you sit as you are, see, if you can't see that you're in control there, or you're out of control, rolling around in your delusional mind, which is where most of us are. See, you don't see with the clarity. But as you begin to quiet down, you watch, see, what you do through this narrative that you continuously are running. See, and then you project out and you blame others for it. Roshi said, don't make an excuse for yourself. The great Hong Zhe, he said, nothing leaks in from the outside. What are we talking about? See, what are we talking about? I've talked about it. But it is nothing that you can understand. See, it becomes, see, the rising wisdom from practice, beginning to see how you function, how you trap yourself in a hell realm. See, and how trapped in ignorance. See, you cause pain and suffering to everyone around you, even if you're trying to be a nice person. You may cause less pain and suffering than the person next to you, but you do, in fact, cause pain and suffering. Don't ask the world to change. You change first. Then you'll get a good enough look at the world so that you'll be able to change whatever you think ought to be changed. See, now we have to be very careful. If, see, you become clear, see, and he'll go on and develop this. If you become clear, you'll see things as they are and not the way you want them to be. Your wants, your desires are based upon your egocentric self. They are greedy, they are selfish, they are harmful. See? Then you'll get, see, if you change first, then you'll get a good enough look at the world so that you'll be able to change whatever you think ought to be changed. But he cautions, till you are aware of yourself, you have no right to interfere with anyone else or with the world. If you think you know, you don't know. You're trapped, see, in delusion. See, and you will then posture and want to continuously tell people how it is. See, when you can't even maintain your own stability, see, trapped in your dualistic thinking, you trap everything else with you. You cause the pain and suffering. You don't grasp the teaching of the Masumi, of the Shakyamuni Buddha. And I could put Masumi Roshi, because he saw this clearly. See? For me, the pain and suffering has always been a major problem. Death was always a major problem, because in the fifth grade, my best friend drowned, and I was a pallbearer. See? And I sat up on this stage, and where they located me, I looked down at Bobby's head. And it wasn't like when those of you who went with me to take care of Soko, there was no makeup. Bobby's head looked like wax. See, and the stink of gardenias. I'd never seen a gardenia. See, a blanket of gardenias. See, and the conditioning, it told me that death was this horrible, plastic, wax-looking thing, and it stunk of those dead, ugly, white flowers. See? And I carried that image with me. See, from the fifth grade until I was well into my practice. If I would go into a florist's shop and smell gardenias, I would actually start to feel sick to my stomach. I would get out. Now, those of you who have been in the backyard, you know one of my favorite plants is an elephant gardenia that sits right where I go. Mushoku cuts and puts them up in my room. It's fragrance. See, to see beyond our deluded thinking, our fears. See. But he cautions, till you are aware of yourself, you have no right to interfere with anyone else or with the world. Now, he said, the danger of attempting to change others or change things when you yourself are not aware is that you may be changing things for your own convenience, your pride, your dogmatic convictions and beliefs, or just to relieve your negative feelings. This from a therapist and a Jesuit priest. It just stuns my mind. See, Roshi's teaching, no self-deception. Do you actually look at yourself? Some of you know I've hammered you with this and hammered you with this. See, and the posturing, you come in and posture. See, and you come in and you bring the same understanding. See. And there's a beautiful quote, see, that I like. See, and it says, let me see, I think I put this down here because I was, yes. Understanding the meaning according to the scriptures, see, look carefully at yourself. Understanding the meaning according to the scriptures is the enemy of the Buddhas of all time. Your understanding kills the Buddhas, and that's a cardinal sin, taking the life of a Buddha. See? I love that quote.